when you're doing your marketing and business development, try and do things that complement each other. So for instance, if you're giving a speaking engagement, you should be utilizing social media to promote that speaking engagement. You should also be speaking into the presentation about exactly what you're doing, but also what the value is that you have to people. And then your follow-up should also be in regards to your social media and your networking and talking about it while you are speaking to individuals, coffee, Zoom, lunches. So everything starts to work together. So you're doing less of it, but you're getting bigger impact instead of just going, I'm just doing social media and that's it. I'm just doing this. They shouldn't be silos. They should all be working in cohesiveness.
You're listening to Be That Lawyer, life-changing strategies and resources for growing a successful law practice. Each episode, your host, author, and lawyer coach, Steve Fritzen, will take a deeper dive, helping you grow your law practice in less time with greater results. Now, here's your host, Steve Fritzen.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Be That Lawyer. Today, we are doing another double episode of Be That Lawyer Live, where we're going to be answering lawyers' toughest questions. I've got the most amazing panel who you'll meet in a few moments. And what I want to just share is that this is an opportunity for a live audience who is going to be putting their toughest business development, marketing, business, you know, general growth questions in the chat. And we're going to be looking at those on a regular basis to answer the toughest questions that lawyers have about how to grow business and keep their wits about them. I think that's also the challenge, right? How do they stay sane and feel good about things? I'm Steve Fritzen. I'm the host of the Be That Lawyer podcast. If you haven't checked that out, it's on all the major platforms, including my website, Fritzen.com. And we've done, I think it's 270 episodes or something insane in about just under 3 years. So we're at a mad dash to, for some reason, put out a tremendous amount of content at an incredible rate. But if you have been listening for a while, don't be shy about telling people about it or giving us a kind review on your Apple phone or wherever you're listening. And if you're brand new to this, this is going to be put into the Be That Lawyer podcast double episode, probably near the end of, I think we're about the end, going to be the end of January, maybe early February. So keep an eye out for that. So we're going to jump in. We're going to do half the show now, and then we're going to do half the show be the second episode. So just be prepared that we are going to take a little bit of a break, and then we're going to come back and kind of reset things. So let's start off with taking a moment to just thank the sponsors. I've got the most amazing sponsors for my show, and they're going to give you a little more insight about what they do and how they help lawyers to be successful. We're going to start out with my friend Stephanie from Money Penny. Stephanie, how are you?
I am very well. Nice to see you all. Stephon Jones from Moneypenny, and we're a proud partner of Steve Fritzen. So Moneypenny are the phone swing and live chat experts, giving law firms like yours amazing people and technology to ensure you're capturing every opportunity and maximizing your time whilst always delivering an exceptional service. And it's really simple. We have access to your employees, and via platforms such as Microsoft Teams, your dedicated Moneypenny receptionist can either transfer calls to cell phones, the office, or to wherever works for you. And we can answer your inbound calls all of the time or just when your in-house teams are busy. The choice is yours. We can do exactly the same for your web chats as well. So there's actually a two-week free trial for anybody that's on this webinar today. And if you'd like to get in touch to hear more, please contact me on svj@moneypenny.com.
Yeah, and you can actually chat with Moneypenny on my website because I am also doing the live chat on my website through Moneypenny, and I'm, you know, someone will just say, you know, ask a question and there's someone there to answer it and get me an appointment if they're interested in moving forward. And if they're not, then they can sort of disqualify it and move it back to the field, which is also beneficial for my time. So thank you, Stephanie. Let's go on to Matt, who is with Practice Panther. Tell us all about Practice Panther, the wonderful practice management service.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it. Hello, everyone. My name is Matt. I'm the head of sales here at Practice Panther. I've been at Practice Panther since its start, and I've seen us grow from a small company to one of the largest case management softwares in the world for small to medium-sized law firms. Some of our more popular features include texting clients, sending documents for signature directly within the system, our ROI tracking for your marketing campaigns using our custom reporting, our automated document templates for the purpose of contracts, our accepting online payments, and a lot more. We offer completely free training, free support, free onboarding, and a free data migration from your previous systems into your Practice Panther software. We pride ourselves on our commitment to growth and our stellar personal customer service. If anyone is interested in learning more about our system, feel free to check us out at practicepanther.com or email me directly to matt@practicepanther.com.
All right, Matt, thank you. You were back there in the David Baton days, right?
Sure.
Exactly. Did I even say his name right? David Baton?
David Baton, great guy.
Baton, great guy. Had a shared a steak with him one day. It was fantastic. Good man, good man. Let's move on. We've got Greg with Legalese Marketing.
Hey there, Steve. Hey, everyone. Thanks for having us. So my name is Greg Eisenberg. I'm the co-founder of Legalese Marketing. And we're really here to serve as your chief automations officer and chief marketing officer at a fractional monthly level. You might know what CMO services are typically like, but a lot of people don't know what CAO services are like. There are so many cool technological pieces out there, just like Matt's program, that you need to make use for your firm, and you need it to work with other programs and need it to be as optimal as possible. So we are almost that chief automations officer that your law firm needs, where we can work with your team each month and spend time building out processes, building out automations, and connecting technology together to work for your firm, and that it works with your marketing efforts as well. So if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us at legalesemarketing.com, and we're here to help.
Yeah, thanks, Greg. People regularly think that I'm this marketing genius, and I'm not going to argue with them, except to tell them that the dirty little secret is Greg is behind the scenes with his team, posting on social media, sending out my newsletter, helping me automate, you know, how I schedule meetings and how I follow up with people, my podcast and all that. So Greg's just awesome, and I appreciate you. Appreciate all my sponsors. Thank you guys so much. Let's move on to the panel. Wow, we have a powerhouse panel today for you guys. Just, you know, three of the sharpest tools in the shed. We're going to start out with Deb, who I've known for a long, long time and have admired. You were sort of like tip of the spear when I was getting into legal coaching. I think you had done it for a number of years, and I kept hearing your name, and I'm like, Deb, again, Deb, ugh. Keep hearing her name. She's doing something right. So welcome, Deb. And do you want to just share a little bit about yourself and Growth Play?
Yeah, I've had the great privilege, Steve, of knowing you and teaching lawyers how to sell for over 22 years. And we are a growth consulting firm. We focus on the sales, client, and talent experience. And we're probably most known for our ethos in teaching doer sellers how to sell like an act of service. Usually it's pretty self-interested to sell. And we can teach you how to make it an extension, a walking audition of your client service. So thanks for having me here today.
Yeah. And thank you for saying the word sell or sales multiple times. I think you just scared half of our attendees. We can't be afraid of that word, everybody. Come on. Anyway, thank you, Deb. Let's move on to Alay Ajnik, who's my friend out in California, the Law Firm Success Group. Alay, how are you?
Hey, Steve. I'm doing really well. Thank you so much for having me on today. Really appreciate it. It's great to see you and great to be here with these awesome panelists. I'm the founder of Law Firm Success Group, and our passion is enabling law firms and attorneys to build successful law firms. Many lawyers work too hard for too little, and they're just more stressed than other professionals. And the problem, we've talked about this, is it doesn't have to be that way, right? Lawyers and law firms can be very profitable, and the owners of those firms can lead rich, rewarding lives. The problem is they've got to run the law firm like a business. And that's what we teach them how to do in terms of strategic marketing, strategy, hiring, time management, and all the things that they need to put in place in terms of systems and processes to really increase their income and help them take 2 to 4 weeks off every year. If people want to learn more, they can just visit us at lawfirmsuccessgroup.com. We've got a lot of free tools and resources there.
Yeah, and we're going to, of course, add all of the contact information for everybody in our show notes today. There'll also be, if you guys are attending today and you're so kind, I'm going to be sending a follow-up survey to just get feedback on the program and also to find out if you want to talk with any of the panelists that are here today. So keep an eye out for that. And if you respond to that survey, you will be getting a copy of Legal Business Development Isn't Rocket Science, everybody. Guess what? It isn't. And you'll get a copy to read all of Fretzen's best hits. Okay. Moving on to Gary Johnson, who's my old buddy, J2 Marketing Consultants. How you doing, Gary?
Good morning or afternoon, wherever you're at. Thanks for having me on, Steve. Gary Johnson with J2 Marketing. Help attorneys increase their confidence, increase their income, and also decrease the amount of time that they spend on marketing and business development by creating
specific and customized strategies for them that are easy to operate and actually work very, very well, and love doing it with attorneys. So again, thanks again, Steve, for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you failed so badly in the last one, the last episode, that I had to give you another chance. I think that's what happened.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Redemption. Today is redemption day.
If you guys don't want to have a good time, you should just leave right now, because we're going to have some fun. We're going to answer some questions. And if we can't give each other a hard time, then what's the point of this whole thing? You know, let's enjoy it. So this is a great time to just mention to the attendees, if you wouldn't mind, go into the Q&A and start loading in things that are bugging you, things that are not working, things that are your challenge, frustrated by as it relates to being a lawyer, trying to grow business. And I've got just amazing people here, as you just heard, that are going to help answer these questions. So Greg will probably help me get those questions in front of me, but I have one right up front that I know I had asked for some questions ahead of time. So we're just going to jump in and get started with these. And panelists, just let me know if it's one that you want to tackle, and I'll make sure we get your answer. All right. Starting out, it is all about time management. So lawyers have the billable hour. They've got the family. They've got all kinds of, maybe they're running a firm. They've got all these obligations. And then we're telling them, hey, wait a second. You also need to go out and develop clients. You need to develop more business. And they're just like, well, how the heck do I do that? Right. This is like probably the number one thing that we're dealing with on a day-to-day basis. So Deb, why don't you start us out, and you know, let's keep our answers tight and to the point, but let's see if we can get around and get some really good content for the gang on this particular topic.
Well, I think you're right. I think one of the biggest competitors to marketing and business development is time and time management. And we will say that, first of all, taking the mindset that engaging in business development as you are going, as an extension of your regular client service, is a really critical way of thinking. And I would encourage folks, if you want to expand the purview of time or start to get a sense that you're spending more time or enough time, if you will, in business development, look at things through the lens of what we call at Growth Play, the G3. Where are you guarding revenue? And that really is in the extension of doing a fantastic job planting seeds for opening doors and continuing to retain revenue. Where are you looking to grow revenue? Where you're planting seeds is an extension of client service. You're asking questions while you're billing that may lead to new leads. And then, of course, what are you trying to do to get? And spend that time specifically in the environments where your likely clients or likely buyers would be, in a way that brings you to a level of joy. So I think the G3, guard, grow, and get, is an effective way to look at time.
Yeah, G3, I love that. Let's go to LA.
Yeah, Steve, so glad you brought this up, because we see this happening all the time. And time management really is a symptom, right? When people are saying, oh my gosh, I don't have enough time to do this, that, or the other, it's a symptom. And there could be many, many different causes for that. To fix it where it starts is to actually put some boundaries in place and to take control of that and say, you know what? I am not going to let my law firm run me into the ground. I'm not going to let my law firm take away my life. Because at the end of the day, time is life and life is time. Right? It's a perishable resource. You can't save it. You can't get more of it. You have to use it in the best way that you can. And so once you've made that decision to take control of where you're spending your time, there's a lot of different ways you can go about addressing that. One of the things we do with our clients is called the 20-10-5 rule. It's focused on solo transaction attorneys. It's a way of thinking about how much time you spend in your law firm. 20 hours a week in client work, 10 hours a week on business development and marketing. Yes, I know that sounds like a lot to many of you, but really, if you're growing, that's what it takes. And 5 hours a week on law firm admin. If you're off on any of those numbers, it's a sign that something has to change. You add it all up, it's a 35-hour work week, gives you plenty of time to enjoy life.
Yeah, 35-hour work week. That's like the 1 hour work day or something like that. I love it. But some people are able to pull it off, but I think it's going to lead into where Gary or I are going to go. So Gary, take it away.
Yeah, I mean, this is great advice from Malay and Deb. The thing I would add on to that is, when you're doing your marketing and business development, try and do things that complement each other. So for instance, if you're giving a speaking engagement, you should be utilizing social media to promote that speaking engagement. You should also be speaking into the presentation about exactly what you're doing, but also what the value is that you have to people. And then your follow-up should also be in regards to your social media and your networking, and talking about it while you are speaking to individuals, coffee, Zoom, lunches, So everything starts to work together. So you're doing less of it, but you're getting bigger impact instead of just going, I'm just doing social media and that's it. I'm just doing this. They shouldn't be silos. They should all be working in cohesiveness.
Yeah. Thank you. So right on. So like this show is going to be two podcast episodes. It's going to be videos that I'm going to create. It's going to be on social media. I can craft articles based on the G3 and the 2010-5. Like I can turn all that into, and give you credit, by the way, but like turn that into an article. Like there's all types of content that you can repurpose and reuse. And it's all about saving time. I would add just the two things that are clearly a part of everything you three just said, which is automate and delegate every single thing you can. And I could get into that for an hour, but to give you the one thing that I would say is an absolute game changer, and my clients back this up and support this fully, is some form of calendaring system like Calendly, Acuity. Sometimes it can happen through the practice management softwares you're using, or it can be added to those systems. But I used to just go back, hey, Gary, let's get together. Cool. Yeah. How's Wednesday at 2:00? No, that's no good. And so we go back and forth 5-6 times. We got 15, 20 minutes and multiple back and forth. That's over for me. Over. I don't do any of that anymore. I think maybe the rarest of occasion with someone that's either like technology, you know, unsavvy or whatever the case is, that a, technology unsavvy, not technology savvy. Is that anyway, whatever. Brain scramble brains. But you guys get the gist. Like it's all about that automation. And then of course, delegating things under your pay grade. You shouldn't be doing admin work at $20, $30, $40, $50 an hour. You know, if you're doing your own bookkeeping, if you're doing your own filing, if you're doing all the stuff and you're sitting at your computer just typing stuff all day, I mean, horrible way to spend your time as a lawyer. So I think put that all together, everybody, and time management can really be managed. You know, it can be something that you can control, and that's going to be a big deal in helping you get ahead. Okay. So we've got moving on to the next question. Okay. Nice. So, okay. This is actually interesting because it's from anonymous. No one's willing to admit it, but I think I have adult ADHD. It's undiagnosed, but you know, squirrel, but I think it's for the attorneys that have ADHD or just very difficult to stay focused. Do you have specific strategies that would work for people that have a hard time focusing and staying the course on something? And let's mix it up a little bit and start with a lay on this. What do you think?
So I don't have ADHD, and my clients, as far as I know, don't have ADHD, but focusing is always a challenge. When you have, you know, a busy attorney who's wearing multiple hats, and those are kind of running them through the day, and they end up getting to the end of the day, and they never got done what they wanted to get done. So I'm going to share with you a quick tip that we do with a lot of our clients. We go through several different strategies for this. One strategy that works really well: the night before, you want to make a to-do list for the next day. And you probably all, if you're listening to this, have heard about the, you know, the ABC kind of method where you figure out what you have to do and what you'd like to do and what, you know, that kind of thing. Once you've done that, the next thing you do is you go through your must-do tasks, and there's probably, you know, 6 to 10 of them, and you number them, A1, A2, A3, and that really forces you to think about what to do first. Then the next morning, you walk in, you've got your list, you start on A1, and you don't stop until it's done, right? If you have a meeting, you go to your meeting, you come back, and you jump right back into A1. Just keep focused on that, because if you get one thing done during the day, that's what you have to get done.
Yeah. Prioritization for sure. Let's go to Gary.
So somebody who is off the charts on ADHD, which is me, and I really am, and I've been seeing quite a few psychologists and psychiatrists and on some medication. One of the things that I got from one of my ADHD coaches was 25-minute sprints. So I have this thing that is a timer that I put on for 25 minutes. And you go for 25 minutes, and then whatever you're doing, stop. For 5 minutes, do lunges or sit-ups or something that is going to get you out of your head and it gets your body going. And then boom, you're right back into the 25 minutes. And also what Alay had said is brilliant, because when you have that time before the day and you already have it planned out, it will take away a lot of your anxiety. The last thing I would say is a thing called a parking lot, which is a piece of paper that you have next to you that when thoughts come into your head, you write it down on your parking lot. And then at the end of the day, you look at that and you say, that was a stupid idea. Like, I'm never going to do that. Or, oh my God, that's brilliant. I got to put it on the next day or somewhere. So it's either going off or it's going on to your calendar.
All right. So the question is, how many stupid things in a row do you have to write down before you realize maybe I should stop writing all these stupid things down?
It's a great question. So the, when I thought, I'm kidding.
All right. Very good point. I love that. Like journaling ideas. I mean, there's a whole, I think there's a whole bunch of, you know, podcasters and people that have mentioned the importance of putting ideas down. And again, yeah, you might only have one good one for every nine bad ones, but that one
kind of getting out of here.
Yeah, just get it out.
The problem with ADHD is that it just stays up there and then it causes all sorts of.
Yeah, right on. Deb, you want to share on this point?
Well, I do. And I've been really appreciating that, you know, sort of the organizing mechanisms that would apply for anyone who wants to have a higher regard of focus and return on that investment time. But I'll answer the question from the perspective of figuring out where your energy is lifting and what brings you a sense of joy, a sense of accomplishment, things that bring you a lot of fulfillment. I do find that focusing when you're getting that endorphin hit, that payoff, that you're really in a zone of working with or working on tasks that you really enjoy, I think there's a lot of benefits. So a great way to think about what is a target market or what is a target client, I would urge you to think about a bullseye living in between three things. So if you can see a Venn diagram, you want to look at what am I really best in the world? Like when you look at your expertise and your capabilities, like where do you really have a lot of success, momentum, and mastery, if you will? Then when it comes to passion, what do you really enjoy? What fulfills something that really is interesting to you? That's, it builds your curiosity, that there's an enjoyment. And then you align that with market opportunity. And I think when you put those three things together and then do the task management and the focus and the 25-minute spritz, I really believe that you'll start to get that extra payoff of that emotional hit of joy.
Yeah. And I just think, from my perspective, again, undiagnosed ADHD, my son has it, and so I'm assuming I have it, has been just getting really organized, reading a book like Getting Things Done or the book on habits, Atomic Habits. And by the way, if you don't want to read that book, there's an awesome like 40-minute video on YouTube about it, which I just totally cheated reading that book, which is okay. You know, sometimes a cheat's a good thing. But there's things that you can pull out. I mean, when I think about where I was when I started my business, stacks of business cards, stacks of files. I had a brochure for Hawaii mixed in with proposals, mixed in with whatever. And it was just a big mess. And getting things done, just getting that organization, understanding how things get put into my brain and how they get put forward or out, really was a game changer for me. Now I'm totally paperless. Quick plug for the Remarkable 2. All my notes, everything on a tablet, everything backed up. There we go, G-Money, right? It's just such a game changer as it relates to organization and how we just keep focused, right? I think that's the key. Okay. All right. We have another question. This one's from Dan, and it is all about getting in front of actual decision makers. He's been networking and trying to like meet people through networking, and it's not really leading to business. It's not leading to getting in front of actual new clients. And so the topic is really about that. How do we get in front of, you know, actual buyers to buy legal services? So Deb, why don't you jump out and start on this one and we'll work our way through the group.
Well, I would begin by understanding it, what is your buyer's top priorities? What is your buyer's value drivers? And then what are your buyer's metrics? If you can understand and put yourself in the perspective of that ideal client or that ideal buyer's perspective, what do they care most about? What are their hot button issues? What are their value drivers? And then ultimately, how do they measure success? And then begin to orient what your offer is that lines up with those priorities, how your differentiators line up with those value drivers, and how your success stories line up with those metrics. When you can have that client-centered point of view before you try to get in front of them. So often I see attorneys want to market their skills, their expertise, their value proposition, their credentials, and then they find that they're not getting anywhere with that. By having a client-centered point of view to bring an offer that is actually an act of service that lines up with the things that your clients ultimately care about, it's in that connection that you might ultimately get to a billable hour, a billable opportunity.
Yeah, terrific. Thank you. Let's go to Alay.
Yeah, Deb is spot on. And I'm going to take a different take on that will build on everything she just said, which is awesome. If you're getting in front of people, but you're not getting any opportunities from it, take a step back and think about a few things. Number one, are you actually getting in front of the right people? Are you getting in front of your ideal clients or your ideal referral sources. If you're not, that could be the problem right there. If you are and you're still not getting anything back, think about how you're showing up. Are you showing up to actually give and be helpful and be supportive and build a relationship and showing that you care? Or are you showing up with, you know, low energy and having your hand out and standing on the corner and hoping a referral is just going to drop into your lap? Here's a secret, and you're not going to like this very much. People don't care about you. They care about them. So to the extent that you can help them, that you show up as an awesome person that's positively memorable, and that you come across as someone who is actually interested in them, that's going to help you build those relationships that are going to generate referrals much faster.
Yeah. I was working with a guy a few years ago who was an Eeyore. Does everyone know what an Eeyore is? Right?
My favorite character in Winnie the Pooh.
There you go. like just so negative and kind of like, and he's like, why isn't anybody referring me things? I'm just like, holy mackerel, dude. You need to be liked. You need to be likable, you know, and he just wasn't. And it's like, you know, I'm not saying you have to change who you are, but you have to go out and kind of put on a happy face. And so that's, you know, that's tricky. Gary, hit us up.
I don't know.
Ah, good answer. Okay. You're the Eeyore of our group.
Exactly. I think Elaine and Deb they hit it out. I don't know what I could add to that other than being an active listener when you're with them. I know that that's not really a part of the question of how do you get in front of them, but Elaine and Deb really, you know, they hit it out of the park in regards to that. And it's really the listen to what their needs are. Listen to what is important to them. What do they find valuable? Because if you don't and you just steamroll over them, it's not going to nail it. Like what Alay was saying is when you know exactly what is in it for them, it's so much easier to do a proposal to them, to do a consultation for them. If you have no idea, you're like 30 yards away from a dartboard. Get right up to it. And the way you do that is by asking really good questions and actually listening to them. And I think that that is a skill in business development that is not taught very often. And it is a shame because it is the most important thing that you can do in business development is to listen to people.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, what was that?
I knew.
All right, see how I worked that right?
I was thinking, URLA.
I knew I was going to go there, Gary. You had an instinct right away that I was going to hit you up like that. All right. I just want to add on to something Alay said, that one of the greatest mistakes lawyers make in developing business is not developing the right referral partners. That's where most of the business for lawyers, unless you're spending a fortune online, most lawyers are looking to get business through referrals, through strategic partners, okay? And they go out and they just meet everybody. They say whatever. There's no plan. There's no thought. There's no infomercial. There's nothing to draw it out. More importantly, and this was said earlier by a number of you, that you really need to understand who your targets are. And I hate to use that word. It's almost like as bad as Deb saying sales earlier. But, you know, who are the targets from if I'm a divorce attorney, okay, who are the best strategic partners for me? Well, it's not everybody. Yes, it's everybody. Everybody can refer a divorce attorney. That's fair, okay? But who are the people that are most likely to come across clients or friends or people that need? Is that the pastor of a church? Is that a financial advisor who's dealing with the money from that family? Is it a real estate person? And then when you find those people, you need to nurture those relationships, into Gary's point about listening and being active in that. And I'll add one more word that is critical in business development, sales, whatever, and that is qualify. Because not all financial planners are created equal. There's the financial planner, hey, Deb, nice meeting you. Give me 10 names of people you know so I can bother them for the next year. That's one financial planner. There's another financial planner who's dealing with high net worth professionals, is an excellent reputation, is an absolute giver, and is looking for a great divorce attorney to be able to refer clients to, and probably could do 5 or 10 a year. Well, you need to think about those targets, relationships, and qualifying all as a part of the same sort of, you know, package of how you're going to get in front of decision makers. Then there's a whole other conversation about where we go from there, which we might get into in part two, just so you'll stick around for part two. But I think we have time for one more question. And I'm just looking here at the list of the questions we have. And this one is really around, this is going off on a little bit of a different angle, but it's about how does a lawyer who's doing really well, let's say a solo or small firm lawyer, know when to hire an associate? Like, what's the threshold? And then is it like, all right, do I push all my chips in and go for the W-2 full-time associate? Do I do it someone that's a contract? How does that work? So I know this is a little bit off the biz dev path, but it's definitely in the wheelhouse of law firm growth. So who would like to jump in on this one? I'll leave this up to the kind of the group here. Let's go with Alay because he's chomping at the bit, I can tell.
I was just going to say.
I love this question.
Friday is a wheelhouse.
There you go, Alay. Here's a little, give me a little spoon.
How much time do we have? Seriously.
Well, I think we got about 5-6 minutes.
Yeah. So we do a lot of this work with clients, helping them figure out who their first hire is. And this is a really interesting problem because oftentimes the attorney is buried with work. So they don't have a lot of time to find somebody. They're also really, really worried that, look, I'm going to take this person on and I'm going to have to deal with paying this person. I need to give them work. If I don't give them work, what am I going to do? I don't want to have to lay somebody off. And so they're really, really concerned about that. And, you know, and rightly so. And so the approach we take, we do a couple of things with them. First is we want to try and figure out what the profitability is of the person that they bring in. So depending on who they hire, how much money will the attorney make? And that's important for a mindset shift. This is not costing the attorney or the firm money. It's making the firm money. By bringing somebody in, an attorney's income goes up, whether that's a legal assistant, a paralegal, or an associate. And they don't have to be full-time. They can be full-time. They can be part-time. You can use contractors. So once we open up and look at all of those different options and talk through how much income the firm can make and how much work they actually have to give to that person, then we can start to make some decisions about what role and then whether it's full-time, part-time, or contractor. And then we go from there.
Yeah, really smart. Deb?
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say, I really can appreciate this idea of understanding when you can begin to calculate the amount of energy that you are willing to put into the investment to keep a pipeline or to keep things full. And I do think there's also a great opportunity to start to look at the various currencies in which a paid resource can help build not only revenue generating and the productivity part of this, but how does this also enlist you to create opportunities for reputation building and relationship access? So sometimes I think you have to take a bit of a broader view of how you get paid. And I do find that as lawyers start to look at bringing on resources, the revenue delivery, the productivity that may come with a part-time or a full-time contract resource then creates capacity for you to generate currency reputationally and currency in building the access to your relationships.
Yeah, right on. Gary?
Nope.
You're out? Okay.
It's just not my action.
Not your jam. Okay, that's fine. Let me throw in 2 cents as well. And that is, you know, this goes back to kind of the heart of things. You know, business development and client development is at the heart of driving up your revenue, your profitability, and your ability to have an associate in place that you can hand off as much as you can hand off. And that's really the whole point is how to, it's like taking Michael Jordan, and I've got the jersey behind me to prove it, but taking Michael Jordan and put him on the bench. I mean, you need to get Michael on the floor playing, and that's you as a business developer, as a client developer for your firm, whether it's solo, or whether you're in a big firm, you're not going to be able to be as profitable and as happy in your career if you're billing 60 hours a week, or you're doing all the administrative, or you're just being burdened down by the work. And if we're looking at it as the business of law, and you're at the point where you're on the verge of you know, I'm getting tapped out, think about what you could really hand off and how much more time you'd have for your family, or even better, to like go out and develop more business to maybe bring in another associate. And I think to Alay's point, so many different options now, maybe more than ever, right? I mean, Alay, is it easier now to find people than it was 10 years ago where it was like, hey, your choice is full-time or that's it?
Yeah, there's a lot more options. That's the good thing is you can really figure out whatever model works well for you or what models work well for you. You can find a model. There's at least 6 and there's more when you start to figure out hybrid stuff. It's also one of the tightest hiring markets that I've ever seen in my career. It is absolutely nuts. It's super hard to find talent. It's always hard. Been harder the last 5 years than I've ever seen it. And so really leveraging best practices on how to go out and find people, getting assistance for finding people is going to be really critical because once that person's in place, here's the promise, right? Here's what's so awesome. When the clients get back from taking a couple weeks off or 3 weeks off or whatever, they're so happy when they have their associate or their paralegal, because that person's been making the firm money while they were away. And it's awesome to see them walk in and have that big old smile on their face going, we actually made money and I was in Hawaii. This is great.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's sort of the big switch for many attorneys is getting to the point where they're able to stop being the worker bee and to really start handing off things to others. And that's where I think most of the happiest lawyers are. Would you guys, Deb, you kind of were nodding? Yeah, right on. Okay. Well, listen, we've answered now, I think, four questions that were in high demand on the panel and the attendees here. We're going to wrap up this segment. I don't want anyone to go anywhere unless you're listening on the podcast. Then you probably got to be done with it. But we're going to come back in a few days and do another podcast for part two. So stay tuned. Nobody leave. We're going to just kind of wrap up this segment. We're going to move right into the next one. But I just want to share, you know, be that lawyer, everybody, someone who's confident, organized, and a skilled rainmaker. Take care. Be safe. Be well. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks for listening to Be That Lawyer, life-changing strategies and resources for growing a successful law practice. Visit Steve's website, fretson.com, for additional information and to stay up to date on the latest legal business development and marketing trends. For more information and important links about today's episode, check out today's show notes.